Our gospel today is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Very familiar, and I challenge you and invite you to do whatever you do to help you go through this and listen closely and see if you can hear something afresh in here. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her baby to be born, or for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things he had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you very much for your word, which is so trustworthy and true. Lord, we thank you that it is without error, that's infallible, and it's inspired by you, breathed out by you, God, through your people. Bless us in this time as we focus on it even more. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, it must have been really, when you think about it, quite amazing. That first Christmas day, that first day when Jesus was born. It probably looked like an ordinary day at first, you know, ordinary night. They're doing their job, low-key. Maybe they're laughing, maybe they're resting. Some are obviously watching the sheep. But then it all starts to happen. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. It seems that when the presence of God is felt deeply and closely in the Bible, people are often terrified, or they're very afraid, and of course, typically, an angel will say something like, "Do not be afraid," or "Don't fear." Glory accompanies the presence of God. And when this happened, it says that the glory shone around them. I can just see it kind of like all around them. Because at this point, there's only one angel. And the them is the people, the shepherds out there. So you've got this glory shining all around them. And I don't know what's going through their head. Maybe they're thinking, oh no, we should have gone to worship. I don't know. Maybe they, as shepherds are out there not able to go to worship as often as they should, since they are taking care of the sheep. Why were they so afraid? I guess being in the presence of an angel of the Lord and the glory of the Lord would be plenty reason. Very close to being with God Himself. God is so other, so holy, so awesome. It reminds me of the scene in the Old Testament in Isaiah, where we have, it says this, in the year of King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each had with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and two they covered their feet, and two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. The sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook. The temple was filled with smoke. It seems that when the appearance of God happens, whether it's in the tabernacle in the Old Testament or whether it's in the temple, we hear about the glory. We hear about the smoke. Where his angels are, there is his glory, and God's glory is seen, or at least should have been seen everywhere in creation. We're told about this from the scriptures. It says here, the whole earth is full of his glory. There certainly is evidence of it all around, but I think because of the God of this world, Satan's eyes are blinded, cannot see as we ought. What is God's glory? It's a good question. I like the answer that Pastor John Piper said. So the glory of God is the holiness of God made manifest or made known. The holiness of God made known or evident. Listen to this word from Leviticus 10:3. He says this. God says, I will be shown to be holy among those who are near me, and before all the people I will be glorified. So he writes this, John Piper does, so to see, to apprehend, and to reckon with his holiness, and in some sense perceive it, is to see glory, and thus glorify him. He also said that the glory of God is the infinite beauty and greatness of his manifold perfections. We hear about this in Psalm 19:1, some evidence that people should look at the creation of God and just go, wow, there is such an awesome God. We hear this in Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. The heavens declare the glory of God. You could say that. You could say all of creation, in a sense, proclaims the glory of God. On that first Christmas, angels joined the first angel. And then what did they say? It says this, that suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. That's what they said. Glory to God in the highest. The first words out of their mouths together. Glory to God in the highest. Glory is given to God by the angels. And of course, they give glory to God. They are in his presence. Just like one of the angels said to Zacharias in Matthew 1, is it? Or was it Luke 1? I guess it is, yeah. When you've got him saying, how am I to know this for sure? And then he says, my name is Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God. You know, Wow. Glory is given to God by the angels, and of course, they do that. They give praise to God. Think of this too. The words that they said, do not be afraid, I bring you good news. This is by the earlier one. I bring you good news, a great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord, or He is Messiah the Lord. We know that angels are to praise God, that they are to glorify God, and we also know that, of course, humans are to do that. Humans are to give glory to God. I think of Mary, Jesus' mother. She was chosen to carry and bear the Messiah, Jesus. After hearing that she would be with child by the Holy Spirit, she said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. She then, of course, went to her cousin, who was at that time 6 months miraculously pregnant because she was, you know, so old in age. And she stayed with her for a while, but when Elizabeth first came on the scene there, I mean, to Mary, Mary came to Elizabeth, this is what Elizabeth said. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. It's pretty great. She believed God. In that act, she glorified God. Glory was given to God by Mary. And Mary even says this in Luke 1:45 47, or part of it here. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. You hear those words that were chosen there? My soul glorifies God. Again, we have another person, not just angels now, who are glorifying God. And we know that glory is given to God by the shepherds. We read about that too. It's the last verse in the section we read today. Do you remember it? Right here on verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. That is what the shepherds did too. Did you know that we were made to give glory to God? Now, I went to a couple different colleges, and the first college I went to was Jamestown in North Dakota here. And that's where I got exposed to, I found out that other churches had catechisms. You know, I thought Lutherans were the only one. I should have figured that out from the Catholics that they had a catechism too. But you know what? So did the Presbyterians. I was really surprised about that. And it wasn't by Martin Luther either, you know. And it was called the Heidelberg Catechism. And the first question that they have in there, what is the chief end of man? Man's chief end, the answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. I think we would agree with that. You know, that's a good thing there. To glorify God and praise Him forever. Listen to this one. From 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Well, I think that I lost my page 3. Hold on. I'm going to have to go on your guys' outline if I don't find it here. You ready? You got your outlines? I got my page 4, but I'm missing my 3. Hold on. Well, can I borrow someone's outline? Is that okay? I think I hold on here. I think it's probably down here. I must have thrown it down. This is not my typical way of doing this. I'm sorry. I don't usually. I combined two of my sermons in the same Bible. And if I don't find that, I am going to borrow your outline. Who wants to share their outline with me? I can do it. Thank you very much. Well, here we go. There's your little break. When we give praise and worship to God, that is really basically how it's supposed to be. That's where to be in union with God, and it's an automatic thing. It should have been, but was interrupted by sin, of course. We don't praise God because He needs it. We praise God because He made us that way. He made us so that we'd praise God, but when sin interrupted all that, it was impossible for people to praise God without His help. God is so great, and that's who God is. He's so awesome and so worthy of praise that we were made to worship Him, and it's only fitting and proper to do, because if we do not, then it is trouble. To not worship God or to give Him glory means we're going to be doing it to something else or somebody else. Does that make sense? If we're not worshiping God, we're going to worship something else. If we're not giving God glory, we're going to give something else glory. Whether it's people, or whether it's things, or circumstances. As children, and sometimes as adults, we can get caught up in thinking, especially I think about with children, it's easy to get distracted with the gifts and the presents, and same for adults, and preparations, and doing all kinds of things. We might think, we know as Christians it's not about us, it's about Him. But it's easy to get distracted and to think that, it's about us. We are told that Jesus is going to come back one day in His glory. And when He does, that is His second coming. We can ask this question of what happens if we don't praise and worship God. We know that what happens is, like in Romans 1, it tells what happens when man suppresses the truth of God and refuses to glorify God. That is judgment, and the wrath is going to come on people. When man is glorified and God is not, you know what that's called? Humanism. Basically humanism. Lifting up man is the chief end of things, when we know that God is the chief end. We need to be praised. God's glory is made visible in Jesus Christ. We know that. We know that especially from John 1:1, which is a typical Christmas verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it goes all the way through verse 14, where it says, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. As the angels said to the shepherds, a Savior has been born to you. A Savior has been born to us, to all people, to all people. And then we have this from Colossians 1:16 that tells us and reminds us this idea that we were made for Him. We were made to glorify Him. All things were created by Him and for Him. That means you were made for God to glorify Him. Do you acknowledge that or live that way in your life? That you were created for God and to glorify Him. And also in Colossians 1, we hear this, verse 27, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, there's many things we could also say, but when it comes down to it, we know that for those shepherds, they returned glorifying and praising God. And that's simply the thing that we are to do in our life as well. Return and give glory to God. That is why we were made. That is why we're here. And so whatever you do, whatever it is, do it to the glory of God. Due to the glory of the one who came as a baby, took on human flesh, God Almighty, and went and lived a sinless, perfect life for us, going to the cross and taking your sins upon Himself. Give glory to that one. All glory is due him. So much throughout the service, we'll typically hear, at the end of the service here, we hear the doxology. And it means praise. I like the kind of funny thing that happened is, you know, when you hear that phone ringer going off, dun 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 dun, like a revelry. Embarrassing for the person, but you know what? Ooh, that should be how we charged for worship. That should be how we should be charged for life, to live for him. Isn't that right? I don't know whose ringer that is, but I mean, we should have it go off again or something. Someone call them, you know? That would be fun. I mean, it's a reminder that this is a serious thing we are doing, worshiping God. And we're to glorify God in all that we do because we're made to glorify him. And it's by the grace of God, through faith in Jesus, that we can do that and that others can do it as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you very much for your amazing grace, for your glory which shines around you. We thank you, God, for the glory of Jesus that's coming to us, and so that we too can shine with his glory. We would let our light shine for you and for those around us, God, that the people would see you and praise you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.